1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Soundbites. This is America's longest-running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or Star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
See, it's that proudly part that I look forward to every week. I like that. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And over there, Rob Linton on the buttons, and you are listening to Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. We are here to take your calls about computers, computer stuff, computer-like things, computer problems, computer solutions.
Everything related.
Computers, basically, sure. But first, we're going to do news stuff, and we'll start with Dave.
All right, folks, you might want to sit down. This is really shocking news. There's another flaw in Windows XP.
Oh, my God.
I know. It's hard to believe. But it turns out that there's a major flaw in their burning technology for burning CDs, that when you go to do it or try to, say, copy files or drag folders over to the CD, they might become unreadable or individual files are sometimes lost. They've got a patch up there. You can go to the Microsoft update and download that, and I would highly recommend that. It's gotten to the point where Microsoft XP, you can expect updates weekly. The other thing I want to quick touch on is, again, to no surprise, there's another virus that has moved from the low rating to a medium. It's called MyLife.B. And again, it's another virus that goes through the email. But what's unique about this one is not only does it attach itself to Outlook, but also MSN, your MSN address book. So, and it will literally wipe out your whole hard drive. Not that day, the following morning, anytime after 8 o'clock, it wipes out anything on a C, D, E, or F drive. So get those viruses updated.
That's good advice. Steve.
Yeah, we've had a couple of updates this week for OS X. Apple released the OS X security update. Looks like a lot of Unix stuff by the cryptic names here: rsync, graph, PHP, sudo.
We know what all those mean, actually.
Yeah. So if you're running OS X, go to your software update control panel and you can download the security update. They've also updated the drivers for the NVIDIA video card if you're running NVIDIA and some of the newer models. Also in combination with the the Matrox RT Mac card if you're doing some real-time video editing. So check out those video updates also from either the software update control panel or the Apple knowledge base online.
Very nice. Thank you. Couple of interesting things that you should know about. If you are a Yahoo Instant Messenger user, when you started using it, you had to fill out a whole series of online forms, one of which was about whether or not you were willing to accept email. I don't want to call it spam because you had the option to opt out.
That's a tasty meat product from Hormel Foods.
It is, and it is.
What's spam made of, though?
Spiced ham.
Spiced ham. That's what spam means, among other things.
And you probably ate enough of that in the service.
Oh.
It was the staple.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes you'd rather eat the staples, but that's why. Anyway, what happened is they have recently, Yahoo has recently changed their policy. They have changed everybody's no's to yeses. If you have a Yahoo Instant Messenger account or a Yahoo account of any sort, you are now wide open to all the spam from all their advertisers. You need to go back into your account profile and change them all to no again. This is, of course, perfectly legitimate because they actually wrote it up in their little policy online that you're supposed to read every day in case there are changes.
Subject to change without notice.
That's exactly what it is. It says they reserve the right to change the terms of the privacy policy at any time. That's an option that typically appears in most privacy policies. It's not that unusual. But legal experts believe that despite the careful wording, class action suits may soon force companies to handle collected data according to the terms of the policy that was in effect at the time the data were collected. Speaking of which,
if you happened to miss the Paul Harvey computer news, he's taking over some of our realm this week.
Yep.
free email services like Yahoo and Hotmail are starting to rethink their freeness, realizing that you can't make any money if you don't charge for your product.
Right.
So it's,
what a concept.
It's looking like that some of the free email services are going to start charging a little bit for mail. Right now, the rumors are going to be $20 to $30 a year. So it's not that much out of pocket, but when you multiply it by how many tens of millions of people are using it, I want to start my own free email service.
That's exactly right. We may do that on Ask Nick. You never know. And the other thing is, speaking of privacy policies, there are a number of programs that let you steal sample music before you buy it by downloading it off the internet. One of those is Kazaa, K-A-Z-A-A, Kazaa. It turns out that Kazaa has partnered with a company called Brilliant Digital Entertainment. Who, may you ask, is Brilliant Digital Entertainment?
Who is it?
That's a good question. I'm glad you asked that. What they are is a company that is involved in lots of peer-to-peer stuff. What you do when you run a product like Kazaa or LimeWire or WinMX or the old Napster...
Morpheus is
you get into a peer-to-peer network where you open up your hard drive or a part of it, you hope, to the internet, and other people do the same, and you can swap files back and forth. Well, Kazaa has additional piggyback peer-to-peer programs that go along, and they will use your idle CPU time to do whatever they want. Now, you may have seen products like that, like SETI at Home, where you search for extraterrestrial intelligence, or the United Devices is searching for a cure for cancer. I mean, those are all, you know, lovely things. However, Brilliant isn't limiting themselves to those kind of things. They could use your machine to send out spam email or anything else they want. And guess what? It's completely legal. When you downloaded that Kazaa client to your machine, you clicked yes on a licensing agreement.
A big long page of small text no one ever reads.
Multiple pages of them. In the middle of that was a sentence that said they would be downloading stuff to your machine and using it to do other distributed networking stuff that had nothing to do with Kazaa. They were very upfront about it. Very open about it, and you clicked yes. Right now, the CEO of Brilliant Digital, whose name is Kevin Burmeister, is completely unrepentant about this. He says these people signed the license agreement. They clicked yes. We didn't hide anything. We didn't change anything. This is what it said from day one.
Folks just didn't read anything.
Exactly. And if you didn't read something that you agreed to, that is your business. And that's too dang bad for you.
Mm-hmm.
They did nothing wrong. And it is quite likely that indeed, given the way the laws are today, they did nothing wrong and cannot be sued for it. We'll see. There are tens of millions of computers in the network of which Kazaa is a part. We don't know exactly how many are actually Kazaa clients, but it's potentially a huge, huge number of clients. They've been if you've downloaded any version of Kazaa since, as near as anybody can tell, February, it includes all this stuff. So you as a Kazaa user may now at this point remove Kazaa and be certain that you remove all the pieces, or know that your machine will be used for whatever they want and you don't have any say in it. You can't say, you know, oh yeah, you can use my machine, but only to search for cancer.
Mm-hmm. Someone needs to write a Kazaa killer, because every week I have to remove it from my PC again, because my daughter downloaded it again. last night I found 23 spy programs and 114 viruses.
Yep. And you may not have gotten them all, because Kazaa leaves all that other stuff.
Well, you've got to get your daughter her own computer, then that way it's her problem.
Well, she's going to be on my Roadrunner network, and so the rest of the machines are vulnerable anyway.
That's exactly right.
But I've been reading the Kazaa privacy statement on their website, and they have this big thing that Kazaa is not spyware, and they're quoting Steve Gibson on the definition of spyware. Oh, that's not us.
No.
They're not, no, but they piggyback all those other things that are. Well, we're going to piggyback into a couple of commercials right now. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton on the buttons, and me, Nick Francesco, on the universe's longest-running computer call-in show, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Hi, I'm Nick Francesco, and I'm sitting here with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton on the buttons, and you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Our first caller today is Joe from Canisius. Welcome, Joe. What's your question?
Hello, sir. I have a question about my computer.
Yes.
Whenever I play a program or a game or something, it has just like a little box in the middle of the screen. Mm-hmm. It doesn't do full screen, and I can't figure out why.
A lot of games won't.
Yeah.
There's two ways that a game can do it. One is if the game is running in, say, 640 mode, and your monitor's running in 1024 mode, it'll put big black borders around your monitor. Mm-hmm. The game needs to switch your resolution. Some of them do it automatically. Some of them want you to switch your resolution. So you need to go to your display properties and change the resolution of your monitor to match the resolution that the game wants to run at.
That's in settings, right? And properties?
Under the control panel, under display.
Right.
Yeah.
The other thing might be that some games let you set the change the resolution, right, like a lot of the id software games.
Right. With inside of
in the game itself,
inside
you can tell
the game
it what resolution to run.
The trade-off is that at a lower resolution, the game plays faster.
Yeah, it's on every single game that I play.
But do you play a bunch of games using the same engine? See, and that's just it. It may be that inside the game, each individual game, you can change that. Most games come up set to 640 by 480 because that's a known fast resolution for any video card. So you may be able to set it inside the game itself.
And what type of video card do you have in this machine?
I have the paperwork right here. The video says AGP.
Okay.
4MB.
4 megabyte?
Yeah,
that's kind of low-end by today's standards. Most of the newer games expect you to have at least an 8 or a 16, 32 is even better, AGP video card.
You may be forced to do it the way we first suggested, which is to change the video resolution of the screen itself before you play the game, because with only 4 meg, you may not be able to play any of the high-end games at a higher resolution.
And you know what ticks me off about that? Then, once you change your resolution, all your icons get messed up.
I hate that.
Then you
so
go back
much.
To 1024 by 768, and you got to rearrange them again.
Yeah, I hate that. Okie doke, Joe?
Yeah, thank you, sir.
Our pleasure. Thank you. Our next caller, well, he wasn't first. It's Bruce. You're slipping. It's Bruce from Henrietta.
Sorry about that, guys.
You must have been waiting for Paul Harvey to finish, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Actually, I don't even have the radio. I'm in the mall doing errands. Yeah, the first thing I want to do, I have a Mac question, is I want to announce that there's no We Do Windows meeting in April for anybody who depends on you guys to get the announcement.
Okay.
And my Mac question is, a friend, this is a real friend, this is my next-door neighbor.
Right. Yeah.
Has a Performa PowerPC System 7.5.5. And for some reason, it can't read multi-session CDs. At least it can't read anything but the very first session. And he had a built-in CD-ROM drive and an external CD-ROM drive, and I hooked the external CD-ROM drive up to my computers, and my Macs, and it works fine. Now, it reads multi-session CD-ROMs. I checked the inits, and he had all the ones that I think are required for the reading CD-ROMs on a Mac. The High Sierra, the
right.
Apple CD-ROM.
Yeah, there isn't another one for multi-session.
There is not.
Right.
I didn't think so.
It may be that his CD driver in that version of the OS isn't capable of multi-session at all, and he may need to update the CD driver.
I think at one time it was functioning. Now, there was another thing that was happening at the same time. The built-in drive is an IDE, but this built-in CD-ROM drive and the external CD-ROM drive are SCSI. And when I ran SCSI Probe, it would hang the system up. And when I took the external CD-ROM drive off, and it was the only thing on the SCSI chain other than the built-in CD-ROM drive, the SCSI Probe works fine.
You might have a termination problem on your CD drive. But that's independent of multi-sessionness.
I understand. It's just a coincidence that I thought maybe there might be a connection that you've seen before, because I haven't seen anything like this where it works and then it doesn't work. without a corruption issue.
It really sounds to me like the problem is the driver, because that's where multi-session is controlled. It's not controlled anywhere else.
No. Well, the very first 1X Apple CD drives were single session only. They wouldn't read multi-session.
Right.
But the 2X drives...
Yes, and that was the external one, 2X? With the
2X. Yeah, the 2X drives are multi-session.
Yes.
I'd say reinstall your CD drivers, if not from the system CDs, to download a version from the Apple website. For a system that old, you'll have to go to the archive site rather than the current site.
Don't say archives. RL's on the line.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Sure. Have a great weekend, guys.
You too. Thank you so much. Our next caller, Steve from Rochester. Welcome, Steve. What's your question?
Well, I have a couple questions, and I know you brilliant people can handle them.
The most important one is my
Norton antivirus. I set it for auto updates. I don't want to miss anything.
Right.
Well, it tells me my definitions are out. I say, okay, update them. Well, actually, it should do it automatically. And it says it can't find list. Live updates could not get a list of updates. It's saying maybe my, check my internet connection. Well, I'm on Roadrunner. I'm on all the time. I've launched both Netscape and...
I had the same problem last week.
What version of Norton?
How long has this been happening?
Just started like a week ago. I got the message maybe 4 or 5 days ago, and I've been working with it since, trying to get around it, because I want to keep my definitions up to date.
Of course you do.
And I've actually reinstalled Norton on top of itself. And I don't know how to get my updates. It's just not doing it.
What version of Norton are you running?
Let me think.
Is it like 2001, 2002?
Yeah, 2001.
Okay. And you've renewed?
Yes. I didn't actually, the version is 2001, but I didn't actually install it until about 5 months ago.
Yeah, during the install, it gives you a year of definitions. Yeah. This specific error, there's a big article in Symantec's website. It usually means that your internet connection isn't working, but
of course it is.
If you go to websites, it is. The next thing is that, I'm trying to remember this because I don't see the article offhand, you might have your internet security settings too high and it can't get to the Symantec site. One of the suggestions is, in a web browser, go to semanticliveupdate.com, and if your web browser says... It takes you to the page, but says you're not doing it right. This is supposed to be for the live update. That means that the site is working. Because the other thing that Symantec was suggesting is maybe the live update site is down.
But what version of Windows are you running?
I'm running ME. I called last week. I'm waiting for XP second edition before I buy the new one.
Yeah.
I've been burned too many times on first editions.
Are you running a firewall program?
Yes.
Which one?
I'm running...
Black Ice?
No.
Norton.
Zone Alarm?
Pardon?
Zone Alarm?
Zone Alarm. Thank you.
Yeah.
It might
be set to live update to not let it through the firewall.
Oh, no, it's been working fine for some time. Suddenly it just stopped.
Well, let me suggest that you try it with Zone Alarm turned off.
Okay.
And if that doesn't work, definitely check the website, because it may be, like Steve said, he was having trouble all last week, too.
We never did find a solution for it.
It may be an intermittent problem.
Yeah,
I noticed that, for example, I run a website called Ask Nick, and I couldn't get to it last week for 10 minutes at a time. And I discovered that somebody had screwed up some sort of routing table, and I was bouncing back and forth between two routers somewhere in the Midwest. And then 10 minutes later, it would be fixed. And then the next day, it would happen again. 10 minutes later, it would be fixed. So it may not be you, and it may not be Symantec.
Right. What I eventually did is downloaded it manually from Symantec's website.
Right, right. So give
Which
that a
annoying,
try. Well, we'll continue to look into it, but it is very possible that it is not you.
Okay. And I
especially now that that's the second report this week.
Yeah.
Right, exactly right. Well, I'm afraid we got to take a break. It's time for us to do that. Thank you very much, Steve. That was a little abrupt, but I apologize. We're going to be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave, Steve, Rob, and me, Nick, on a lot more sound bites on 1180 WHAM. It's true. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And Rob Linton is on the buttons. And on the phone, this could
the
be...
The one and only?
This could be frightening. Argyle. Welcome, Argyle.
Did somebody mention archives earlier?
Yes.
I thought I heard it on my radio.
Yes, you did.
You did.
I would go back
twitching.
And check it, but I would go back and check it, but I have no way of doing that currently.
For those of you who are new to this show,
yes.
We, for many years on our previous station, had a set of archives. You could listen to the old shows. Unfortunately, in the move that changed, the folks who were doing it have not decided to do it again that I know of. They haven't heard
responded
right.
back.
And that's fine. That's perfectly fine. So what we're doing is putting together a server in order to offer both streaming media of the old shows and the current archives. But we haven't got that up yet. And Argyle has been, for those of you who've been on our boards at soundbites.org, we have a bunch of forums. Argyle has been one of the two main driving forces behind the archive movement.
Indeed. But really, Nick, how would I contribute to help you guys get this server up?
Well, here's the deal. We are putting together a server. Dave is donating a bunch of stuff. We're buying some of the other stuff. We've got some people who are donating their time to get the software running. If you would like to donate your dollars, actual hard cash,
yes,
you can send a check.
Or a money order.
To Dave, what's your address?
3385 Brighton Henrietta Town Line Road, 14623.
And just mark that is for the Soundbites Archives. Yes. And you can help us, and anybody who donates, we will put your name in glowing electrons. On the website.
Etched in bytes.
The what?
Etched in bytes.
Exactly right.
Okay, look at. Then we got to move on to, I think, the Bean Queen campaign.
Definitely. Right.
More on that later. Look, I had another question.
Yes.
I got a notice on one of the bulletin boards that I got that Apple released something called Cinema Tools, which is supposed to help us HD pioneers, the guys with the arrows in their backs, in the HD TV area. Steve, you know anything about it?
I read the press release yesterday.
And? So, go ahead.
It helps people doing video with their HD stuff.
Excellent. Hey,
you heard it here first.
What a wealth of knowledge. We're nothing if not on the cutting edge. Our fingers on the pulse of the nation.
Some of the extra things specifically it does, it's designed to work with Final Cut, which is Apple's professional video editing suite, to work with edit decision lists and HD video and the new, the 24p
right.
Video format.
Right.
And he's reading it off the same
time. And our guy... Before you ask, let me squelch this right now.
Okay.
No video of us. Not going to happen. I don't care how many bumper stickers you guys make.
Dingoes and tutus, I thought.
Dingoes and tutus we got. That's a whole other story.
Okay, look, I'm waiting for the day that I can change my signature line on the forum. You guys do a great job.
You can. Yes, and soon it will happen.
As soon as it happens, I'll change it.
Yepper, thank you so much.
All right, bye-bye.
Appreciate that. You can, by the way, join in on those forums at www.soundbites.org. Easiest way to get there is to go to wham1180.com. I always get that
backwards.
Well,
if they were smart, it would also be 1180wham.com.
Well, maybe they'll try to get that too, but it's wham1180.com. Go into the, and they've got that new look. It's 80 years of Wham. Happy birthday, Wham.
Happy birthday, Wham.
That's so wonderful. And if you go into there, you will find our smiling faces on the biggest button down in the lower right.
One other thing that we should put a plug in for, though, is, folks hear us all the time on the radio and they actually want to see us. We're going to be appearing at the Soho Show on April 25th from 11 to 2 o'clock. So you might want to mark your calendars. The three of us are going to, they're actually going to let us out of the studio and appear live.
It's unbelievable. It's a frightening thought, but you'll be catching that there. And we're going to go back to the phones now. Jim from Gates, welcome. What's your question?
Hi, gentlemen. Thank you for the entertaining and for the information.
Thank you.
I have a 14-and-a-half-year-old son.
Lock him in a closet till he's 25.
Well, he's been industrious and worked and has saved his money, and now he wants to put together his own computer from the ground up.
Okay.
Now, you know, he could have been into motorcycles. He could have been into a number of things.
What's wrong with ruining his life with computers?
Wait, what's wrong with motorcycles?
Oh, no. And, okay. You know, and girls and everything else. But he's chosen computers right now, and he's worked and saved his money. And I'd like him to end up with something other than an expensive pile of parts.
Mm-hmm.
So my question to you gentlemen is, if you're in a situation like that, and you have a father who's an electrical engineer who can help him make sure he plugs him in the right way, but you want the child to do the work himself,
mm-hmm.
What kind of directions or where would you steer somebody in something like that?
Buy a fire extinguisher.
That's first.
Well, the other
and
thing,
some extra insurance.
Well, the main thing, though, is you being the electrical background that you do have, is, you know, you can buy all the components. You can find a lot of good deals on the web. You can buy bare-bone systems and more or less, you know, piecemeal all the stuff you want together.